Good afternoon. Thank you for coming up this afternoon to participate with us in our first round of sustainability study. And I see some familiar faces from this morning, so welcome back. The District Education Council, as you know, has decided to do some sustainability studies on schools in this area. So this is round one and visitation number two. We spent the morning at Lawrence Middle School. I want to thank the principal, Sarah Mahar, and the staff here for making us welcome this morning and taking us on a tour. It's a lovely building and lovely facilities outside, and that's a huge part of us making ourselves aware of what's going on in the communities as we do the studies. I'm going to ask the DEC members to stand and introduce themselves and recognize what areas they hail from. I'll start with you, Andy.
Hello, I'm Andy Saunders. I am a counselor. I live in Portsmouth here. I'm the area.
I'm Heather Hogan, and I represent the Wichita Heartland area.
I'm Laura O'Brien from Subdistrict 6, which is in the Fredericton area on the south side.
Andrew Corey, Subdistrict 5, and I deal with the schools in Harvey and Canada.
And I'm Jay Buckley, Subdistrict 9, from the north side of Fredericton.
Yeah, no, I'm Thomas Cabrera, and I'm Subdistrict 13, it's the 7th school from Vermont.
I'm District 12. I represent Gagetown, Burton, Gary, Lincoln, and Freedom Junction.
Good afternoon. I'm Faith Kennedy from Subdistrict 11, and I represent Brandon.
Tanya Adams, Subdistrict 1, Edmonton, Grand Falls, Plaster Rock, and Perpendicular.
Sean Winslow, Subdistrict 8, North West Park.
And I'm Christy Douglas, and I hail from Subdistrict 10, Stanley, Dovetown, New Bandon, Nash Rock Valley, and Boys Town. Mary G. and Towards Frederick. I'll recognize the mayor of Lawrenceville, Bristol, Carl Curtis, again, for being with us this afternoon. Thank you for sticking with us, and our MLA, Andrew Harvey, for the area as well. Thank you as well. The district staff that follow us through the sustainability studies, they have to give up their Saturdays as well as the DEC. And Mr. McTimony will introduce them when he takes over, which I think is about now.
Thank you, Kimberly.
Oh, just one thing. There's always one addition. We are going to hear today the information that the district staff has been able to gather for us on this area, on this school in particular. You will be listening as well to the same thing, and I'm hoping in your mind, making note of the things that you'd like us to hear that aren't in the presentation today, because that's what we'll be looking for when we come back again in January. We hope that if you have questions today, you ask them, but we'd like you to stick to questions about the material today and keep the presentations or comments or things that you'd like us to know for January.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is David McTimony, and I'm the superintendent for the Anglophone West School District. It's a big school district on the western side of our province. We cover about one-third of the province geography-wise, and one of four Anglophone districts in our province. Here, of course, today to present to the District Education Council and the public through the sustainability study process. Really pleased to have district staff with us today, and I'm going to introduce them as I scan the room. I'll start with the Director of Schools for the Woodstock Education Center, and that's Jay Kolpitz. Our district is divided into three centers, the Oromocto area, Fredericton area, and Woodstock area, and Jay is the director for this area. We have our Director of Communications here, Judy Cole. Thank you for being here, Judy. Our Supervisor of Data and Accountability, and a great partner in putting together this presentation that we see here today, Sue Young. Our Facilities Manager, Angus Smith, is here. And Budget and Accounting Manager, Terry McKellar. And Assistant Transportation Manager from the Fredericton area, because the Woodstock crew is away right now, Mark Manderson is filling in. Mike White, our technology expert for the Woodstock area, is here. He'll change the slides for me as we go. I'm sure he just loves sitting in the very front where everybody can see him. I see everyone else on the team is at the back, right? But a great crew that helps for today. Certainly like to thank and acknowledge Sarah Mahara, who's a principal here at Florenceville. There she is. And I know, as I scan the room, there's probably some Florenceville Elementary School staff here too. I see a former Florenceville Elementary principal, Kathy Stevenson, is here too, deserves recognition. So that's the crew, and it's nice to see people from the public here this afternoon as well. It's my plan to talk for the next hour or so, and we'll try it. I know that frightens Jane a little bit, but we'll see if we can move along at a good pace. If you find the questions you have, we'll try it for a little bit. If you have questions right on that particular side, we'll see if we can answer them right away. If all of a sudden the presentation gets railroaded, then I know that our deck chair will stand up and bring us back on track. We did find from our presentation this morning that it's hard to see on the screen, so we've made some copies and have put them on the back table, and maybe you picked up a copy and you can follow along, and maybe you're already through the presentation, but we'll proceed as we did this morning. So let's get started here, Mike. Here's our agenda for the day. We've done our introductions, and we'll review Provincial Policy 409, the Multi-Year School Infrastructure Planning Policy. That's a provincial policy. I'll share a lot of information about Florenceville Elementary School, and we'll look for a few questions that are factual type questions, and I'll try to answer them, or staff will help me out with that, and then talk about what's next in the sustainability study process. Provincial Policy 409, it's a policy that people have become familiar with. It gets a little bit of attention in our province and in the media. The policy itself outlines a lot of different responsibilities that have to do with facilities in our system. But there is a section of that policy where there are some instructions on how to review the sustainability study, or review the sustainability of schools. In our school district, we have 69 schools at the time, and there are times when we need to look a little bit closer about the configuration and the schools that we have in our various communities. A sustainability study rolls out with three public meetings. And this is the first public meeting. And this meeting is designed to serve as a presentation of facts, a presentation of information from district staff, of course, to our deck, but also to the public. The second meeting, again, is a public meeting, and it's an opportunity for stakeholders, community members, to take the floor and present their thoughts on the sustainability of the school. And that meeting will take place on Saturday, January 18th. We'll be back here in this school, and we'll talk a little bit about how to prepare for that meeting before this session is over. And again, the DEC likes to hear from the public, likes to hear from stakeholders, whether it's business or community organizations or the municipality. The DEC is interested in hearing from you to help inform their decision. And then finally, meeting number three. It's the culmination of the sustainability study, and actually it will be all four sustainability studies coming together for one final meeting, and that's at a public DEC meeting. It will take place at Carleton North High School on the evening of Thursday, March 19th. I'm sure most of you know, but I should have mentioned it, we are conducting four sustainability studies in this area. Florenceville Middle School and Florenceville Elementary School are today, and then we'll come back upriver on Saturday, November 30th for Bristol Elementary School and Bath Community School. There are three possible outcomes, three broad categories for outcomes in a sustainability study. The first would be to maintain the status quo at Florenceville Elementary, which means the DEC has looked things over very carefully, they've talked about it, they've listened to the public, and they decide, you know what, the way it is now is working well, let's leave it alone. And at that time, if they vote in favor of status quo, then business continues as you know it today. A second option would be to vote in favor of making a recommendation to the province on investing in Florenceville Elementary School. We have to do that as a recommendation because when we talk about investment, it's beyond just global budget and minor repairs, and it's even beyond just the capital improvement process. We're talking about major dollars from the province. So that's the second option. And then the third option would be to close the school and include students in a new K-8 school with the location and catchment areas to be determined during the major capital process. Again, that comes from the DEC to the province as a recommendation, because as a district and as a council, we don't have the money to build a brand new school. We would need for the province to approve that recommendation. The reason you see K-8 there as opposed to K-5 and 6-8, or some kind of combination of with Carleton North High School, is just because that's the configuration that seems to stand out the most these days, not only from the Ernst & Young study, the consultant group that studied, did a feasibility study in this area, but also what we tend to see around the province. So our most recent schools being built, we see two in the Woodstock area, Medux-McKay Consolidated School and Townsview School, are two K-8 schools in the 600 student range each. Hanwell School is now in the process. Again, it's I'm calling it Hanwell School. That's not the official name, but the school being built in Hanwell. So that tends to be the configuration. That's not to say that the DEC won't talk about or consider other configurations. All right, just go back for a second, Michael. I forget the... that one. Oh yes, so public meetings such as this and such as the second public meeting provide the DEC with the information they need. It's not just from these two meetings that they'll come up with their decision. They'll spend some time reading. They'll spend some time talking with one another. They'll spend a lot of time asking questions of me and the staff at the district to try and help formulate their important decision on the night of Thursday, March 19th. When we look at the presentation for today, that policy, Policy 409, outlines some categories that we try to follow. You can see the categories here. We look at enrollment, and we look at education programming. We look at assessment results and transportation and finances. We look at the impact on other schools. We look at the building itself, the impact on the local community and economic development, and I'll also present the vision of a new school just as it's outlined through our province and that K-8 school specification. So we'll start with enrollment, and this is where we started this morning to see people squinting when they look at the screen, and we've printed this for you. You can see that enrollment at the elementary school, we've gone back to the year 2001 and all the way to 2018. And you can see that it's fairly steady, right? Maybe a low as we dip as low as 185, I see, in the year 2011. Looks like there was a little peak in 2006. I'm not sure what happened there, but that we jumped from 191 all the way up to 246 kids. But the trend seems to be a somewhat stable elementary school population at Florenceville Elementary. The next slide sort of shows it by grade level as well. We didn't go back as far. We went back to 2012 because we wanted to leave some columns for our projections. The Ernst & Young group helped us with these projections. They have access to data that with respect to populations and community demographics that help them make the projection a little bit more accurate. But you can see that when we look ahead, we're projected to stay in that 200 to 220 student enrollment for Florenceville Elementary, grades K to 5. Quality of education programs and services. I can tell you a little bit about the educational staff that is allocated to the school. We've placed 2 years here, last year and this year. And you can see that there are two columns for each year. There's a provincial staffing formula that's used that guides the province in how many teachers they should provide to the district so that the district can place the teachers in the schools. So there's a formula for classroom teachers. We get 1.1 FTE. FTE stands for full-time equivalent. We get 1.1 for every classroom that's required at the school. We get one FTE for, I'm going to forget it now, but I'm in deep enough, so I better take a stab at it. I think it's every 350 students for administration. We get one FTE for every 502 students for guidance, and we get one FTE for every 180 students for resource. The classroom, it's 1.1 at the elementary level, and I didn't explain it this deep at this morning at the middle school, but it's actually 1.2 per classroom at the middle level. So those are the formulas that are used. So they take the numbers and the number of classrooms and they put it into the hopper, and you can see that it spits out a number, and that number comes to us for all 69 of our schools, and then the district, who would understand the schools a little more closely than the province, might fine-tune that number a little bit, maybe a little bit more, maybe a little bit less, based on the needs of the school. and provides the number. So last year, it was 19.1 FTE here at Florenceville Elementary. This year, it's 16.9 FTE. And that's for teachers. Okay? When it comes to classes, there is a maximum class size for the various grade levels, kindergarten through grade 12. The maximum class size at the elementary level is a little bit less than the middle school and high school levels. You can see classes in grades K to 2 are at 21. Grade 3, it's as many as 26. And grades 4 and 5, it would be as many as 28 that are allowed in a class. If it's a combined class that involves any of the grades of K to 3, the maximum class size would be 16. Or any grades of combination 3 to 5, it would be a maximum class size of 23. In this school, there are 13 classes altogether, and 5 of the 13 are combined classes. You can see the numbers as well for middle school and high school, with 29 being the maximum of any grade in any of those grades in grades 7 to 12. Those numbers, by the way, are established through negotiations between the Teachers Federation and the province as they map out their contract. This slide just shows the student-to-teacher ratio. You can see the ratio as per the provincial staffing formula for both years, and then the actual. So in this case, this year, we have a student-to-teacher ratio of 12.72 students for one teacher. And when I say teacher, I'm including everyone, principal, guidance, resource, specialty teachers. Last year it was 12.51 to 1. Of course, there's very valuable staff outside the world of teaching. Here at Florenceville Elementary, there are four. I say this year. It's 2018-19 information that we're using here. There were four EAs this year, and I may look to Sarah now. Sarah, is it? I'm afraid I don't know the number of EAs.
It's the same.
It's the same.
This year as well.
Okay. And there's an administrative assistant. There's a school library worker that comes for 8.5 hours a week, and as we noted this morning, and she shares with her time with Florenceville Middle, and of course a custodian, there'd be a couple of cleaning staff, 1.71 FTE here at the school. Oh, there, I got ahead of myself. That was last year's. And here's this year's. And the admin assistant, library worker, custodian, I figured those were all the same. As Sarah's confirmed, the number of EAs is the same for this year. There's also a student attendant that works 8.25 hours per week this year.
Can you stay or go?
Pardon me?
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, this is one where I have to come a little closer, and you might want to look on your sheets. We've created a sheet. So this is a school where there is early French immersion available to students. No late French immersion, because at this time, late immersion begins in grade 6. A gymnasium, it's hard to know whether you say, yes, there is a gym, or no, there is not a gym, and I've been caught both times. So you can see here that we'll say, yes, there is a gym. But if you use the official terms of the specifications, the building specifications, the official name for this room that we're in is a multi-purpose room. So if I were to say, no, there's not a gym at Florenceville Elementary, most people would put up their hand and say, what are you talking about? That's where we are right now. When you come to the true definition of a gymnasium with respect to our schools, in that building specification document, We would call this a multi-purpose room. I'm just going to double check with Angus, that's the right language, is it? This is a multi-purpose room?
That's true, however I call it.
Pardon me?
That's true, however I call it.
Yes, that's right, we use the term gym. Yep. Music, fine arts, specialties, yes, that occurs here. We have resource, we have guidance. We have support staff, teaching staff to support in the areas of literacy and numeracy. They come in for certain times during the year, and those staff are shared across our district. We have check-ins when it comes to French immersion leads, and the same for science leads that check in. There isn't an official science lab or an official computer lab here at the school. Students from Florenceville Elementary enter English Prime at this school beginning in kindergarten. Students, grade K students from Florenceville Elementary can stay in English Prime or enter the early immersion, French immersion program, both offered here at Florenceville Elementary beginning in grade 1, and they would stay here right until grade 5. Kindergarten students from Centerville Community School, Bath Community School, and Bristol Elementary School can choose to come to Florenceville Elementary School if they wish to take early French immersion beginning in grade 1. Grade 5 students from the elementary, they all feed into Florenceville Middle School, whether it's English Prime or early immersion or late immersion. When students leave here at the end of grade 5, they go to the middle school down the road. And then grade 5 students from Florenceville Elementary who enter French immersion at the middle school, they would continue. I think that's just a combination of whether it's prime or early immersion or late immersion. They'll all move into Florenceville Middle School. A lot of great special events that would encourage community school partnerships. In fact, this presentation is, before too long, Judy's going to make sure it gets onto our website. And you can click on this link if you'd like to see all of the examples that we've included. But there are some great great special events and school partnerships that are included here. Outdoor learning centers, Ducks Unlimited involvement, there's some ArtSmart grants, BioBlitz, Christmas concerts. Someone tells me that this gym is wall to wall and can't move when there's when it's time for the Christmas concert. Remembrance Day ceremonies, of course. Reading Buddies program, in a hydroponics grow unit with McCain, the ELF program. We know that that there are businesses in the community, such as McCain Foods, that really contribute to the well-being of this school. So I've just picked out a few to mention. And we've mentioned them on this slide, but also there are many more, and you can click on that link. Oh, I see there's a second page. Yes. Good recycling practices, book fairs, writers in schools program. Had a visit from Fred Fox. I've met him before too, Terry Fox's brother. Roots of Empathy, what a great program that is. We love seeing that around our district. More mention of leadership from McCain Foods. Student Voice. You can see some examples here. And as on the last slide and for this slide, there's an appendix where you can see so many more. When we look at Student Voice, there's the GAIA group. Recycling and composting, kids look after that. A student leadership group, the Fox Dens, there are interest surveys, global competency project and announcements from kids through video. The school TV monitor is highlighting students. The Kudos Awards and Trivia Night. And then a showcase here, the Meduxna Keg Showcase in partnership with the Meduxna Keg River Association. And all sorts of different student clubs that go on at noon now, whether it's choir or chess or Minecraft, track and field, hack and attack. A lot of different choices. Provincial assessment results. We know that assessment of students is important. In my mind, classroom-based assessment is the most important because teachers know their kids the best and they're able to provide feedback to parents based on a variety of classroom assessments that go on throughout the year. We do, however, need to participate in a provincial assessment program, and those results are public. The grade 2 assessment has been discontinued by our province. You can see some historic results in grade 2 reading over the years, mostly in the 70s range, in that zone of 72 to 75. It looks like one year it was a little bit lower when it went down into the 60s. The three columns there are the elementary school results. Next would be the district accumulated results, and then finally the provincial results for that grade level. The grade 4 provincial assessment continues, and in fact the results have just been recently shared publicly in the last couple of weeks. At this school, for the grade 4 assessment, they look at reading and math and science, as well as French second language reading for the early French immersion students. And you can see in English reading that students are right on par with the district and province. Looks like the French second language assessment results are showing ahead of the curve when comparing with the district and province. When it comes to math, just a touch below. And then for science, we see some results there of 65.3% successful compared to the district at 60 and the province at 61. You can, by the way, check out the provincial assessment results for any school in the province. Those are public results that are available to anyone online. Definitely some benefits going on here at the school. It's a French immersion feeder school, so some students from neighboring communities like Centerville and Bath make their way here when it comes to French immersion. A multicultural school community because, of course, in the McCain Technology Center, IBM, we see employees who come from around the world. So that diversity is great here at the school. We see some wonderful staff teaming. All staff are parts of committees, whether it's leadership or wellness or the GAIA project, outdoor learning, STEAM. All teachers sort of pick their area of interest and contribute when it comes to learning outside of the classroom. Some outdoor learning, a natural playground, the Plantopia, I see there. Community schools coordinator, Valerie Carmichael, is actively involved here at the school and making that link between the school community and the community at large. Flexible seating, provincial e-library, some support for beginning teachers, and proximity to the Envy Trail and the Muddy Boots Learning Center. Once again, there's an appendix available for those of you who wish to dig in a little bit deeper. Here are some school challenges. Although there are 4 portable classrooms, Florenceville Elementary is still tight for space. One multi-purpose classroom is often used by various stakeholders that visit the school. The school is often scrambling to find spaces for people to work at. We talked a little bit about the gym already. The gym is small, and it's right in the middle of the school as well. People have to travel through the gym to get to classrooms on the other side. So probably everyone in the building is familiar with the school, but there's really two wings, and this gym area is what joins the two wings together. Interestingly enough, this building is a twin building to the elementary school in Chipman and the elementary school in Boys Town. So there are three schools in our district that have the same configuration. It's difficult to offer intramural programs as the gym is always being used for phys ed classes. The gym is not used by the community as the facility is not really large enough to host sport events. Kitchen facilities. The kitchen is mostly for the school's breakfast program. The school has been given the opportunity to use Rosemary McCain money for hot lunch programs and have had to be inventive with our kitchen facilities and no cafeteria. Last year, the food for the program was prepared elsewhere and then brought into the school and served by parent volunteers. After school programming is difficult to provide after school programs because of the busing. We talked a little bit about busing this morning. Rural school, and many students do travel by bus. There's some limits to enrichment programs that can be offered, and that makes it such that most of the programs that can be offered are done within the instructional day so that everyone can have access. We can talk a little bit about the building. Built in 1966, one story, 1,850 square meters. It's brick and concrete structure, a wood frame roof, 12 classrooms, a library, a gymnasium, and a kitchen, but no cafeteria. Four portable classrooms are attached to the school. There's a little layout. I keep saying four. Can we confirm that, Angus? Has it changed since?
No, it's four. There's two more, but they're not shown.
That's right. It's the drawing. It's the drawing that's a little bit back. That's a couple years behind, right?
Yes.
Yes.
So there's room to draw a line and be right above two that are protruding.
That's right. Okay. I remember we talked about that earlier. Yeah, when I saw four and I saw two there, but it's just the map that we've shown here is one that we've pulled from the official database that didn't show those two. Functional capacity is a formula that's used to give a description of the available space in the building. It basically takes the number of classrooms and the capacity of each classroom and compares it to the enrollment in the school. The functional capacity here at Florenceville Elementary is coming in at 83%. Usually in that 80 to 100 zone, we would consider it to be full, to be getting to a point where there's not a lot of elbow room in that 80 to 100 zone. There are some challenges. It falls under the category of health and safety. There isn't a sprinkler system or a ventilation system in the building. There is some asbestos on the pipe fittings and in some floor tiles. That is managed safely by trained staff, and we have an asbestos management program, so there's no immediate danger of asbestos exposure, but it is present, as it is in many older buildings. The gym, we would say, is undersized compared to department school specification guidelines. Some money has been invested into the school under the category of capital investments. So capital investments would be money that the province provides to a school beyond a global budget. And in this particular case, if we look over the last 8 years, we can see that in the year 2011-2012, there were some work done on the boiler and some exterior door improvements. And then in 2017-18, site improvement Those three investments amount to $75,000. And this is sort of our wish list for every single school in our district. We have a wish list of capital improvement projects that we would like to see approved. We submit them each and every year. Our facilities team manages the projects and keeps them organized in a database, and then in the spring of each year presents a priority list to the District Education Council that often asks a number of questions. Sometimes there's a little bit of reorganization of priorities, and then we submit a list approved by DEC to make its way to the province for potential approval. These, by the way, are estimated costs. They're not actual costs. But some of the projects we would like to see that are ranked on a higher priority would be a heating system, an improved communication system, and improved security systems, as well as a sprinkler system. And then when it ranked as priority two would be a ventilation system and some washroom upgrades. If we had our way, we'd like $1 million to do all of those projects. I do see that, of course, is one of 69 schools in our district. And if we were to look at all of our schools and we could wave the magic wand, it would be about $70 million that we're looking for capital improvement projects. So there's some annual costs that we set money aside for when it comes to operation of the building. This is a three-year history. This money is to cover things such as electricity, water, sewage, garbage removal, snow plow, heating, cleaning supplies, and minor repairs or renovations. Last fiscal year, a fiscal year, by the way, goes from April 1st to March 31st. Last fiscal year, we came in at $82,000. The year before, it was $88,000, and the year before that, it was $66,000. So those are some typical costs in the run of the year in terms of operating the facility with money that that we manage as a school and a district. We also provide the principal with a budget, a global budget, so it follows that fiscal year so that she can run the school from an educational standpoint. Most of it goes to what's called a regular construction line. There are other lines there for administrative support, teacher working conditions, and nutrition to support a bilingual learning environment, wellness and busing for trips, as well as the PSSC. And that global budget amounts to about $30,800, and that's managed by the school principal. She would also have access to a small amount of money in a self-sustaining budget line. It carries forward from year to year. And if there are ever little projects that might fall outside the scope of this budget, a lot of times we can talk back and forth and see how we can access dollars outside of just the traditional global budget lines. When it comes to staffing, of course, that would be the biggest expense, to pay salaries. This is the two sets of information here, the actual costs from 2018-19, and then what we project for this year, in this fiscal year of 2019-20. You can see it's projected to be a little bit more to pay staff this year at about $1.7 million. Those numbers change based on the specific staff that you have and their level of certification or their years of experience. Each category has its own collective bargaining unit with a variety of different salaries. So if you combine those three together, we're looking at a total cost of about $1.68 million per year. Transportation. So we have a catchment area here. Any students who are in grades 6 to 12 who live in this Florenceville Elementary School catchment area get bused to Florenceville Middle and Carlton North High School. It's noted that Florenceville Elementary does have French immersion available. The morning bus system sees 26 buses transporting students within the elementary school catchment area to this school. Now, I talked a little bit about that in between meetings today, and there are 26 buses or runs involved. It doesn't necessarily mean 26 different runs coming into the school, but as many of you know, there's a mix of transfers and a system where if we were to capture it, we would say there are 26 buses that are involved. I'm sure it's extremely busy here in the mornings and after school. Likewise, 26 buses at the end of the day. When we think ahead, it's hard to project how different it would be, because if there was a new school, we don't exactly know where that new school would be, so it's hard to know exactly. When the transportation team thinks of it just in general, they would expect that there wouldn't be a significant impact on change in busing. Hopefully they'd be able to find some efficiencies for the entire catchment area, but there wouldn't be a significant impact. Remember this one, it's very... The longest ride in to Florenceville Elementary is 80 minutes. The longest ride home as well would be 80 minutes. The earliest pickup time is 7:06, and the last drop-off is 3:34 in the afternoon. An average riding time of 38 minutes. So that's data that's generated from the transportation system. I know that each student is unique in their travel time, but that's generated. Mark, can you remind me the name of our data system for transportation?
Right now we're using the bus planner model.
Say it again?
Bus planner.
Bus planner, that's right, yeah. So there's a database system that the management team uses, and they showed me before, and you can see a series of dots on the map where kids live, and they're able to pull this information to show some maximums and averages.
Teacher, can I say something?
Yes.
Sorry, I have to leave to a family function. I just wanted to thank the deck members and the district staff for being here today. It's on a beautiful sunny day in Florence, Bristol. And you're more than welcome. We'll see you again in November. Obviously, the weather will be the same, obviously.
Yes,
it's always sunny in Florence, Bristol. So. But seriously, this is a very important process, and I've gone through this map that David is aware of in the map area in the last 4 or 5 years, and it's a very important process for the community, for the parents and grandparents and children, obviously, and teachers and the whole community moving forward with the schools in this catchment area for Carlton North. And so I wish you well today as you finish your information session. Look forward to January 18th and after that. And I encourage all the parents here, you know, community members to talk to your teachers or the teachers and talk to the staff and your good input into this process, because it's a very important process moving forward. So thank you again, and I have to leave. And one golden rule is my mother is waiting for me at 2:00 and her family, and I can't be late. So anyway, have a good day, and thanks again for coming.
The average distance that we're looking at is 10.2 kilometers with a maximum distance of 46 kilometers and a minimum distance traveled of 0.9 kilometers. Transportation, by the way, there's actual legislation that outlines the parameters of transportation. So anybody who lives further than 2.4 kilometers away from the school, we're obliged to provide transportation. Naturally, in many cases, we try and lessen that if we can. It says in that legislation that the superintendent can adjust that number if it's feasible. We try to make it work when we can, but there are a lot of moving parts when it comes to the bus schedule. Impact on the local community, economic development. Of course, Florenceville Elementary School is one of two schools in this part of town, one of three schools in the town of Florenceville-Bristol. Strong parent community support for Florenceville Elementary. I'm going to correct myself again, that's not including the high school. We know that the high school is also an important part of the town. Impact on economic development in the local community related to the students in this area. We really didn't want to dive too deep into that because we know it's more you that could describe that as opposed to us. So we sort of see this category getting covered a little bit more in public meeting number two, where we hope that businesses and community groups and parents might like to make a presentation and talk about the impact on the community.
Four schools in the community,
that's right. So there was, of course, Florenceville Elementary, Florenceville Middle, Bristol Elementary, and Carlton North High School. I'm wrapping things up here now. The considerations, again, I'll put this slide up again. We're looking at whether we should maintain status quo. And if that's the case, then the study is done on that particular night. Should the DEC choose to make a recommendation to the province to provide for repairs to the elementary school, that would be a recommendation because the province controls the purse strings when it's that much money. And even more money, of course, would be if we had to build, we made the recommendation to build a new school, that would go through the major capital construction process. Each year, the District Education Council submits ideas to the province on considerations for major capital construction. It's a priority list, and it's fair to say that the DEC has placed on that major capital construction list the concept of a new school in this area. At this particular time, it's not way up there because the focus is on the project that's underway in Fredericton. This study, though, will help formulate where the DEC places that priority based on their deliberations over the next 4 to 6 months. I mentioned there's a vision, there's an educational specification document for what a typical new school looks like in the province of New Brunswick, and in this case, we're talking about a typical K-8 school with 650 students. So these are the things that you would expect to see in that educational specification document. You'd see 32 classrooms for general instruction, 4 kindergarten classrooms, an early childhood development room, 2 multifunction classrooms, a middle school technology spaces, a science room, resource and special care classrooms, project work areas, music room, art room, performing arts and theater classroom, 2 gymnasiums, and they would be official gymnasiums, guidance and visiting professionals office, student government rooms, a library and media center, cafeteria, kitchen and stage, a recycling room, administration space, personnel center with staff, lounge area and play areas and play field. These are the types of things that are in the framework when we build a K-8 school. And every time a K-8 school is approved and in the works, there's always a committee that comes together to fine tune that that plan for the school. We've seen it happen, of course, most recently in the town of Woodstock with Modesta Consolidated and Townsview School a few years back. We also see it starting to move along now with the Hanwell area school. So it's something that we've seen. In fact, Angus and Sean Tracy and a couple others are just a few weeks away coming back from a conference where they learned about the whole concept of building new schools and specification documents. So that's it right now, and there are no questions throughout, but maybe there are some questions right now. If there are some questions on the facts, I can see if I can answer them. I might lean on staff to do that, or it might be that we have to table the question and post an answer online, or we'll get back to you on it.
What is the possibility of, you said there's three possibilities, status quo, repairs, or new school. What's the possibility, like, when you talk about repairs, could we modify this school? Build on and add extra instead of a whole brand new school?
That could be a possibility. That could be an option, yes. Yeah.
Are there any specifications on the number of washrooms per student? We've got four portable classrooms, but not an extra washroom, you know?
Yeah, I know washrooms are getting a lot of attention. Maybe Angus, you can jump in.
Well, it's called International Building Code, and I believe it's something that it's different from boys and girls. And I look it up every time, and the other conditions, it's somewhere around 2100. But the education program. I brought this up with education, and they look at these portables as being portable units and do them as a temporary measure. So they haven't offered us any assistance with additional washrooms.
We won't bring in portable bathrooms to go alongside. That would not be good.
You mentioned that they pick up the phone.
Yes.
Any questions from deck members? Anyone else have questions?
I just have a quick question. Just in determining the option for a new school, will we have access to the information that's being shared with the other schools in this area?
Yes. So if you go on our website, on the right side of the screen, there's a box that says Sustainability Studies. And when you click on that, it brings you to a new screen where all four schools have their own sustainability study, and you can click on any of those. And in fact, this presentation and the middle school presentation, Judy's going to upload it today. And anytime we have other documents, there's already some documents on there, like the Ernst & Young study is on there. The letters that come from me to you, they all get posted. We try and populate that. If the deck asks me for certain information and we prepare a document, we post it. So it's a good site to look at regularly.
We check it regularly in case there are questions that we hadn't thought of. Yes.
I don't really have a question, but it's more of a statement. I grew up in Ontario in big elementary schools and middle schools and high schools, and moving here, having a son here, the environment is just, it's amazing. The small atmosphere and everybody knows everybody and the friendly faces, and it's very welcoming when you come in here as a parent and as a student.
So I would encourage you to maybe get together with some other people who think the same way and put together a presentation for us for January. Those are good things for us to hear. So just a reminder that that it is the DEC that has to make this decision. They task us with this as elected members. The district does not make the decision. They presented to us what you've seen. That's what we've heard. And we will ask questions if we have any, but we hear what you hear, and again, we'll hear from you hopefully in January, and that helps us round out the picture in terms of making our minds up about decisions.
Can you remind us what the kind of things you're looking for in January, looking for business or community members to talk about economic impact?
We've had a presentation actually last year from the town of Lawrenceville Crystal on a view that they had of an education site, and that kind of thing is interesting to hear. So if you're thinking that you would like to see something like that, you could make a presentation on how that it would be nice to have several buildings in the same area. Offering education services. If you're a person who would prefer that we keep small schools in each area, then you might want to make a presentation on that. In terms of economics, I'll just use an example from my area. When they decided to put two high schools together, one of the communities came out and described what was going to happen to the local businesses when the high school students left that community for the day and went elsewhere. So that was an economic consideration for the DEC at that time to think about.
Good question.
Is
there any studies or documentation about regions like Woodstock that have gone from multiple schools to more consolidated K-8 schools to see, you know, what the costs were before versus after, what the ratios were before and after?
I believe the sustainability studies that were conducted in recent years are posted. I don't know how far it goes back. Judy, do you remember if the Woodstock study is still online?
I can check, but there are previous studies there.
There are a number of previous studies there. Previous studies that I think of most recently, there were a few in the Fredericton area. There was Coles Island, there was Millville, Bath.
That's not your question, Joe, right?
Mine's after implementation of the K-8.
Oh, after implementation.
You could look at assessment results, but we know that assessment results are a one-time event.
Yeah.
There might be studies from other areas that you could search out.
We haven't done a post-transmission study, no, a change. We haven't done that.
You have your wish list of what a new school would look like. The new schools that are being built, how much is getting into each of those schools that are on your wish list?
A lot. The list that I showed, if you just go back a couple slides, I think, Mike, the vision for new school. So those are bullets from a provincial education specification document. So that's what the province says the framework of or the skeleton of a school should look like this. And then anytime a new school is being built, a committee comes together and of course uses this as the template and then fine tunes it a little bit. So this is sort of the general plan of the school. And then it gets fine-tuned on that committee. So I guess to directly answer your question, I would say most of that would be there because that's what the province expects for a school in that particular category. When I used the word wish list, that was a few slides earlier, and those would be the capital improvement projects to improve this particular school. Did I describe that right, Angus?
Yes.
Ed specs?
Yeah.
The Ed specs? Okay.
Yes. And the Hanwell School that's under design now for entering has these elements on them.
It did have all of them, correct?
Yes.
Do the schools in Woodstock both have all of the twin buildings?
So the schools in Woodstock were 2010-2011. Heather might best know that, but she finished her career in one of them. I'm thinking yes.
Yes, I don't know if we had a student government room, but everything else we had.
I think it's evolved. It's probably evolved since then. It was, those schools were built, we moved into those schools in like 2010, 2012, 2014, I think. Yeah.
Yes.
Back in January, you're looking kind of the pros and cons.
Yep.
From the community and different places, but I can think of some things right now, but just don't have time for that. Kind of can lean one way or the other, I guess, because it's apparent.
So we'd like to know that. But whatever your thoughts are, and you might, after you sit down and put your pros and cons in columns, you might say, oh, wait a minute, I hadn't thought of that. Maybe I feel more strongly one way or another.
And I wonder, like, even from this group, like, they would see, you know, if you're talking about Boston, that you envision a single school, like, you know, how would we know how that affects Boston? Or where's the data for that type of stuff, right? That could influence people's decisions.
And we don't have influence over exactly where a new school would be built. The district can make recommendations, but we can't tell the government that we will have a new school. That's their decision to make, and where it goes is also their decision to make. So there are some things that really you can't tease out. It's not like saying, or we would close one school and send them all to a new one or another one that's already in existence. It's, yeah.
Well, I kind of envision this area, such a small community, that wouldn't change much between here and Bath. There's not a big, we're not a few longer, so it's going to be somewhere along in between.
And I see this community as the one having the most interest because there is a time element. So we put a new school on our wish list and the government approves it, then there's a time of a few years. So students in the upper middle school grades will probably be gone and in high school before anything ever happened. But I see people here and the students in the elementary grades that's a possibility that will happen with them, if anything happens. And we certainly haven't made our minds up. This is our first foray into the area, except for those of us who traveled through, and Heather and Andy that are up here. And Tanya, who must travel through regularly. Okay, thank you so much.